at mercy until there was no more movement in the forest. Dropping in a fresh clip, Ryan swept the field with his good eye, looking for more targets.
Anybody dead?
Bob.
Dean thumbed fresh rounds into an empty clip. His clothes were splattered with blood, none of it his own. The boy slammed the clip into the grip of his Browning and jacked the slide. Taking a bag of shells from a corpse with a shotgun, Mildred cracked open the scattergun and reloaded.
Looks like a clean sweep.
Maybe.
Jack gestured with his wheel gun. Several tents stood near a stout log cabin, where smoke rose from the brick chimney. In the cab of the windowless truck, Stephen dramatically moaned as if just recovering from the blow to the head he had received from Ryan during the initial assault. Hector spat in disgust. Drawing the Sig Sauer, Ryan advanced toward the cabin, with a blaster in each hand.
Doc, right flank. JB, go left. Mildred and Dean, cover fire. Jack, Hector, and Clem, with me.
Preparing their weapons, the companions started toward the cabin when a sharp whistle caught their attention.
Incoming!
Doc gestured down the hillside. Returning to the wall of bushes edging the slopes, Ryan and the others took positions in the greenery and looked down the slope. A swarm of Cold Hearts, led by a huge man on a horse, was striving up the grassy incline. Their leader's face was disfigured by a hideous scar. Each canny was armed with long blaster or crossbow, and the scar-faced man sported a huge U.S. Army M60 machine gun, with a glittering golden belt of ammo dangling from the side port of the deadly weapon.
Fire blast.
Ryan ducked out of sight.
That's trouble.
His lips split, JB spat blood on the ground, and removed the partially loaded clip from the Uzi to slap in his second-to-last full one.
Must be the ground crew from the next part of the trap.
Must be 50 of them.
62.
Christy's face was unnaturally pale, and she stood with shoulders slumped, her hair limp, as if completely exhausted. Ryan guessed at the distance. 80 yards, certainly no more than that. They were moving slow, waiting to be attacked. Ryan cradled his rifle but did nothing. His five remaining rounds weren't going to stop the charge of five dozen.
Maybe we can escape in the wags?
Sweat dripped off Stephen's pale face.
Shut up, fool. Running would only get us killed.
Mildred hoisted the scattergun and worked the pump.
Anybody got a grin?
But their expressions told him the answer. JB patted his shoulder bag.
Got some blocks of C4. But they're useless in the open like this.
Prep one. A big one, just in case. Dean, any more cocktails in the truck?
The boy grinned.
Plenty. I'll get the case.
He took off with the speed of youth. Clem glared hatefully at the approaching crew.
Any more boulders? Went to almost D&S, should do them fine.
Sure are. Just past the cook fire.
Hector pointed with his new wheel gun.
Show us where.
Ryan duck walked out of the bush.
Everybody with me. JB? Buy us 2 minutes.
No prob.
The armorer removed his hat. He took careful aim down the slope, flipped the selector switch to full auto, and put a long spray of 9mm rounds down the steep incline. Three cannies cried out, and the rest hit the dirt, returning fire, the whole expanse of bushes shaking from the passage of bullets. But lacking a clear target, they were just shooting blind and hoping for the best. Then the scar-faced man on the horse worked the arming bolt on his M60, and the massive blaster began to throw gouts of flame at the ridge. The man rode the bucking military blaster like a pro. On the other side of the bushes, Ryan and the others were following Hector across the battlefield, jumping over bodies and blast craters until reaching a stand of trees with a scraggly collection of bushes in front. A gate of some kind was partially hidden behind the plants.
Here. I found it by accident.
The men removed the bushes, discovering they weren't attached to the ground, but just sitting on top.
Camo? Nice.
Exposed was a split rail enclosure that resembled a horse corral, large enough to hold 100 big boulders. Only a scant handful of smaller, yard-wide rocks rested behind the hinged gate.
Shit. Have to do.
Ryan leveled his blaster.
Clear the path!
Neatly, he shot off the knotted rope and the gate swung aside, but the granite didn't budge. From the ridge, he could hear Mildred discharge her shotgun again as JB inserted his last clip and started firing controlled bursts at the riders.
20 yards.
JB switched to single-shot mode.
19.
Growling in frustration, Ryan jumped over the fence and threw his shoulder against one of the stubborn rocks. He was surprised when it rolled easily out of the paddock, bumping the gate on the way out. Doc, Jack, and Clem joined him in getting the other rock started, and soon all six were rapidly tumbling across the sloped field. As they rapidly built speed, worn tracks in the hard ground spread the boulders out in a pattern between the bushes before they disappeared over the crest. Scarface screamed as the line of rocks came tumbling his way. Irrationally, he fired the M60 at the boulders as one hit a bump and sailed directly over the startled horseman to crash behind him and his mount. Unstoppable, the other boulders plowed through the startled cannies, smashing them aside in bloody ruination. And then the rocks were past them, rolling down the hill to ram into the trees on the far side of the road. Ryan and the others reached the bushes and surveyed the carnage. Broken bodies were strewed across the hillside by the score, and no more than 20 men stood undamaged, including their leader. Cursing bitterly, Scarface turned his mount and started to gallop down the hillside with his crew in hot retreat. The companions opened fire, but only managed to drop two more of the cannies before they reached the road and disappeared from view into the low trees.
Think they'll return?
Dean placed the case of Molotov cocktails heavily on the ground.
Maybe. Jack, Doc, stay here and keep watching things. Dean, get those firebombs in the truck and help JB check over the wags. We might have to leave fast. Mildred, see what the hell is wrong with Christy. Hector, make sure your wife is okay. Clem, come with me. Let's see what's in that cabin.
Everybody hurried to their assigned tasks.
Look at all this!
Stephen greedily grabbed a blaster from a corpse. Then he knelt and started to untie the laces on the combat boots.
This will triple my profit!
Hector bumped the man in passing, and Jack retrieved the shotgun off the ground from his hands to sniff the barrel.
Unused.
The teenager cast it to the ground.
Stephen, none of the whips or supplies are yours. Those that fought get a slice, you don't.
But I hired you!
We're passengers.
JB worked the bolt on his Uzi and pointed it straight at the man. His expression was calm.
Or do you think we still might make good mercies after all?
Stephen slunk off, muttering to himself. JB sighed, resting the hot blaster on his shoulder.
Gonna be trouble there. Come on, let's check the vehicles.
Dean hefted the box of bombs to his stomach and rested the bottom on his belt buckle to balance the weight.
Any chance they can still roll?
Sure, but not for long.
Then he paused and touched his head.
Where the hell is my hat?
Checking for booby traps along the way, Ryan and Clem were almost at the log cabin when they spied a wounded man crawling along the ground toward the structure, a trail of blood stretching into the woods. Without stopping, Ryan drew his blaster and pointed it at the man, but Clem stopped him.
Mine. Bob is dead.
Fair enough.
Ryan holstered the weapon. Clem kicked the man over so they were face to face. Weakly, the cold heart struggled as the hunter lowered his musket until the muzzle rested against the man's bare throat.
For you, brother.
Ryan was already at the cabin circling the building, checking for sentries when Clem returned, reloading as he walked. There was only one door in front, and the two small windows were covered with wooden shutters on the interior.
Strange. What are they keeping in there?
Moving near the door, the two men listened for a while.
That be crying?
In a flash of understanding, Ryan drew the Sig Sauer and kicked open the door. Inside, the cabin was a nightmare. The small building clearly served as the canny's armory, with racks of blasters, boxes of ammo, crossbows and arrows stacked along both walls. But the rear area also served as their larder. Lacking only their heads, dressed human bodies hung gutted from rafters in orderly rows, men and women mixed together, the children and infants off to one side. The sweet air was thick with the smell of burned wood, and Ryan saw a smoker stove in the far corner, the fumes used to cure meat and make it last longer. His stomach lurched at the notion, and he tasted bitter bile in his mouth.
By the blood of the prophet!
Clem gasped, touching his heart, lips, and forehead in an ancient protective gesture. The crying sounded again, and the men spun, ready to kill anything they found, man or beast. Near a stack of